It's my privilege to have the Vice President come here and to have you give him an honor and a welcome that is notorious for Iowans. And he is the next Vice President of the United States, so I welcome the next Vice President of the United States, Paul Ryan.
Hey, everybody, thank you so much. Wow, how about it, huh? Nice Packer jersey. Ah, this is fantastic. Hey, you know, one of the reasons why I've gotten along so well with Chuck Grassley over the years is because we come from the same place. I tell you, I feel like I'm standing 10 miles from my house in Janesville, Wisconsin right now. And how about this Lieutenant Governor, Kim Reynolds? Man, she is fantastic. Gosh, Kim. And Chuck, such a bulwark in the Senate. Iowans, you have sent us impressive people, Tom Latham included, to represent you, and I want to thank you for that. It's good to be here in Adel at the Dallas County Courthouse. Like I said, I feel like I just parachuted into my own home. My mother-in-law came from Clinton, Iowa. My grandfather went to Lowers College. We are kindred spirits. And when you take a look at our communities, when you take a look at what built our country, we have a really big decision to make going forward. We know what the last 4 years has brought us. We are a country in doubt. We hit $16 trillion of debt that was announced yesterday. It's a country in decline. We have a clear choice. Are we going to stay on the path that President Obama has placed us on, or are we going to turn this thing around, win this election, and get the country back on the right track? That's what we're going to do. Now, Chuck can vouch for this. President Obama and too many politicians like him in Washington have been too worried and concerned about their next election than they have about the next generation. We're not going to do that. We will lead. We want to earn your support. We want to deserve this victory so that when we get it, we have the mandate and the moral authority to get this country back on the right track, to reapply our founding principles, and to get our economy growing again. Now, you know what? There's a little thing going on over in Charlotte, North Carolina this week. You're going to hear a lot of talk, but you're probably not going to hear this quote that President Obama made 4 years ago. If you don't have a record to run on, then you paint your opponent as someone people should run from. That's what he said 4 years ago. Guess what? That's exactly what he is doing today. You see, the president did inherit a tough situation when he came into office. Any fair measurement of his record, you have to acknowledge that. Problem is, he didn't make anything better. He can't run on his record. And so that is why he's run out of ideas and why he's running the kind of campaign he's running, based on the politics of envy and division. Hope and change have now become attack and blame. Heck, remember Ronald Reagan back in 1980? When he said, are you better off today than you were 4 years ago? We answered that question in 1980. We fired Jimmy Carter and we hired Ronald Reagan, and we're going to do a repeat this time in 2012. Hey, just measure the track record of President Obama versus that of Jimmy Carter. The unemployment rate in July of 1980 was 7.8%. It's been above 8% for 42 months. Seriously delinquent mortgages, a very critical measurement in our economy. At the end of 1980, was 77,000. Last quarter, it was 3.1 million. Bankruptcies, personal and business bankruptcies. In Jimmy Carter's day in 1980, total bankruptcies were 331,000 in 1980. Tough days. Last year, 1.4 million. We are not on the right path. We're going to hear a lot of things in Charlotte, but we're not going to hear a convincing argument that we are better off than we were 4 years ago. We're going to hear it from President Clinton tonight in Charlotte. My guess is we'll get a great rendition of how good things were in the 1990s, but we're not going to hear much about how things have been the last 4 years. And by the way, under President Clinton, we got welfare reform. Chuck Grassley, everybody else in Congress, we got welfare reform, which moved people from welfare to work to get people out of poverty. President Obama's rolling back welfare reform. President Clinton worked with Republicans in Congress to have a budget agreement to cut spending. President Obama, a gusher of new spending and only demagoguery from those of us who have offered solutions. Medicare reform. The Medicare reform that Mitt Romney and I are proposing, the Medicare reform that guarantees the promise of Medicare for people in and near retirement and saves it for the next generation, it's an idea that came out of the Clinton Commission to save Medicare. President Obama gave us Obamacare. Obamacare takes $716 billion from Medicare to pay for Obamacare. They call that an achievement. Do you call turning Medicare into a piggy bank to pay for a Medicare, to pay for Obamacare, an achievement?
No.
Look, we're going to hear a lot of words, but what we're not going to be hearing is how we are better off today than we were 4 years ago. After getting the runaround for 4 years, it is time to have a turnaround in America, and that is exactly what Mitt Romney is the kind of leader we need to do that. Very rarely before have I seen a situation where the man and the moment meet so well. Look at what this man has done in his life. We need leadership. Remember the Olympics back in the late 1990s in Salt Lake? Remember that scandal? The scandal, the waste, the corruption, the wasteful spending? That all sounds kind of familiar these days, doesn't it? What did they do? Well, out in Salt Lake, they called a guy in Boston, Mitt Romney, asked him to drop everything, spend 3 years living in Salt Lake, and fix the mess that was the Olympics. He dutifully did that. He turned things around, and he made us proud, and he saved the Olympics. That's duty, honor, service of country. And by the way, this is a man who has been successful in business, and this is a country where we think being successful in business is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. We take pride in one another's success. We don't resent people who become successful. This man created tens of thousands of jobs. He turned around struggling businesses. He started new businesses. Take a look at the difference between the Obama presidency and just when Mitt Romney was governor of Massachusetts. The biggest difference is leadership and performance. Under President Obama, unemployment has been above 8% for 42 months. Household family income has gone down $4,000 over the past 4 years. Nearly one in six Americans today are living in poverty. This is the highest poverty rate of Americans we've seen in a generation. The credit rating of America has been downgraded for the first time in the history of our country. We turn on the TV when we get home and we see what's going on in Greece, in Spain, in Europe. And that is exactly what will happen to us if we stay on the path that the president has placed us upon. If you copy European economics, you're going to get European results. Mitt Romney, when he was governor of Massachusetts, he balanced the budget without raising taxes by working with Democrats across the aisle and not demonizing his political opponents. Mitt Romney made sure that they had economic growth and opportunity, and as a result, family incomes went up $5,000. He lowered the unemployment rate. He increased the credit rating of Massachusetts. You know, When you take a look at what just happened in the last 3.5 years, President Obama came in with a very tough jobs crisis, one we still have. And he muscled through with one-party control his answer, a $1 trillion borrowing binge, which was a huge government spending spree that they called the stimulus. They promised that if we borrow all this money and spend it through all these government agencies, unemployment would never get above 8%. It hasn't been below 8% since then. And then he quickly turned and focused all of his attention, his effort, and his energies on a partisan government takeover of our healthcare system. Medicare is being threatened by Obamacare. If you take a look at what the Chamber of Commerce is telling us, they just surveyed small businesses across America. Small businesses like the ones we have in our town centers. 75% of them said, because of Obamacare, they're much less likely to hire new workers. Obamacare is the greatest threat to Medicare. Obamacare is a great threat to job creation. And so for the sake of Medicare and for the sake of creating jobs, we are going to repeal and replace Obamacare. It doesn't work. It's not who we are. You know, every now and then the president gives us sort of a glimpse of his thinking. He sort of drops the veil and tells us the philosophy that he has in mind for what he wants to transform America into. You remember the guy named Joe the Plumber about 4 years ago where he said he wants to spread the wealth around? It's this sort of school of thought that the money in America is finite. It's fixed. And that it's government's job to redistribute the slices of the pie, however elites in government think it ought to be done. That is not who we are. Our job is to set the conditions for economic growth and opportunity so we can grow the pie so everybody can get a bigger slice of a bigger pie. That's what we do in this country. I look over here, I see a guy with an NRA hat, I see a bunch of camo. I have those myself. And remember when he was talking to a bunch of donors in San Francisco, where he said people in the Midwest, like people like us, like to cling to their guns and their religion. Yeah. Here's all I got to say is this Catholic deer hunter is down proud of that, and I'm guilty as charged. That's who we are in this country. I happily cling to my guns and my religion. And the doozy of them all was in Roanoke not too long ago. When he said, if you have a small business, you didn't build that? Government doesn't get the credit for these things. Individual initiative in America does. I'm proud to stand with the Mitt Romney, who knows that if you have a small business, you did build that small business. It is not enough for us to simply criticize and point out the failures of the last 4 years. We need to do that so we don't repeat those mistakes. But we owe you solutions. We owe you an alternative. We want to respect you by giving you the choice what you want. What do you want this country to be? That's what the Romney-Ryan plan for a stronger middle class is all about. It's about getting economic growth, prosperity. Five things. They're really simple. We have lots of energy in this country. We have lots of energy in this state. Let's use the energy in this country, the energy in this state, so we can actually create jobs, so we can get prosperity, lower prices of gas and fuel, do Keystone Pipeline. And a lot of people who are displaced, a lot of my friends in their 40s who lost their jobs at the plant, they're in between. They need to have the skills to get the jobs of the future. We need a system where we have quality education and job training skills so people can get back on the path of prosperity. We need to fix our education system and get workers who are displaced back on the path to a career that gives them the prosperity and the destiny that they have shaped for themselves. I come from southern Wisconsin, corn and soybean country. I mean, I'm sorry, you drive 5 miles that way, it looks like 5 miles from my house. We need to grow more food, make more things, sell them to other countries. That is how we create jobs. We need trade agreements that are fair, that hold people to account, but that help us make and grow things and sell them overseas. That is critical for jobs here in Iowa, critical for jobs in America. And one thing that is so near and dear to my heart, something I've spent a lot of my time on, it's a really simple concept. We have got to stop spending money we just don't have. We have got to cut spending. We got to get this deficit and debt under control because it's dragging our economy down and it is giving our children a diminished future. And the last point, but it's one that we can never lose sight of. Small businesses are the engine of economic growth and job creation in this country. We need to champion small businesses. We can't drown them in a sea of regulation in the promise of higher taxes. You know, overseas, which where I come from means Lake Superior, our competitors are lowering their tax rates to their small businesses. Canada lowered their tax rates to all of their businesses to 15% in January. In this coming January, President Obama is promising that the top tax rate on our successful small businesses, which is where most of our jobs come from, will be above 40%. Friends, when we tax our job creators at much higher tax rates than our foreign competitors tax theirs, they win, we lose. We don't think the president's plans of taking all this money from families, all this money from successful small businesses, just to spend it in Washington on favorite fads, on favorite constituents, it doesn't work. We don't want government picking winners and losers in society. We want Americans prospering through individual initiative and economic growth and prosperity. That's how you create jobs in this country. Our goals are very simple. Our policies, these policies, have proven to work. We want to unleash the creativity and the aspirations of the people of this country. We want growth. We want opportunity. We want to restore the right to rise in our society because that, after all, is the American dream. You know, America is more than just Adel. It's more than Des Moines. It's more than Florida or Wisconsin or Maine or California. It's more than a piece of geography. America is an idea. It is the first country founded on an idea. This idea is very precious, and even presidents sometimes need reminding what the American idea is. Our rights, they come from nature and God and not from government. That's the American idea. We are the center of society, not the government. The government works for us and not the other way around. You know, our founders created this. They established this. And each and every generation since then have been fought by our veterans to preserve this, and we thank them for what they've done for us and our country. It is our generation's challenge. It is our turn. And it doesn't matter what generation you come from. This is the most important election in your lifetime. We really are at that proverbial fork in the road. This is the defining moment. This is not just about jobs, just about economic growth. It is about the kind of people we want to be, the kind of country we want to have. And so here is the commitment that Mitt and I are making to you, our fellow citizens. We are not going to duck these tough issues. We are not going to keep kicking the can down the road and follow Greece. We are going to lead and fix this mess in Washington. And you know what? We're not going to spend the next 4 years blaming other people for problems. We're going to take responsibility. And the one thing we're not going to do is we are not going to try and transform this country into something it was never intended to be. We are not going to try and replace our founding principles. We will reapply our founding principles and get this country back on the right track. We can do this. It is not too late to get the American idea back on the right track. But we need your help. Iowa is so crucial. Iowans, you know this. You're used to this. We need you. You've had everybody running for president in each of your kitchens. We need your help. Your country is watching. You have a unique responsibility and a special opportunity to get this country back on the right track. And the good news is, it's not too late to do that. We can do this. With your help together, we can do this. Thank you so much for coming out here to the Dallas County Courthouse. Thank you so much for what you're about to do. We really appreciate your help. God bless you. Let's get this done, all right? Let's get this done. Thank you, everybody. Thanks so much.
Thank you.